Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for staying with me on this beautiful Memorial Day. Gene Griseman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of a number of books, including Time Tactics for Very Successful People, and including one of my favorite books in the whole world, The Words Lincoln Lived By. Gene is an outstanding speaker, one of the top Lincoln portrayers in the world, and more importantly, though, he's our good friend. Gene, welcome back to the show.
And I'm glad to be with you again. It's always a pleasure. It's like coming home to a good friend.
Well, I appreciate that. And sorry about calling you John, although John was just on the show, and he's a good guy, too. But it's Gene Griseman, ladies and gentlemen. And Gene, thank you for being with us on Memorial Day. What would Mr. Lincoln, you know, I don't know how much he was aware of any kind of memorial type of activity. The Memorial Day, as I understand it, in the research I've done, Gene, maybe you've done more than, I'm sure you've probably done more than I have, but is that the Civil War really kind of caused the Memorial Day activities, the memorializing of the fallen soldiers on the battlefield, that really kind of kicked into high gear toward the end of and after the Civil War. Was President Lincoln aware of any of that?
Oh, he certainly was, and you're absolutely right that the Civil War was a catalyst for memorializing those who had sacrificed for this nation. One obvious reason is that so many fell during the Civil War, with North and South almost 600,000 in a nation that at that time its total population was in the mid-30 million. So. If you imagine that, a tremendous loss. Very few communities hadn't lost a number of people.
Right. And the women saw these graves on both sides and went out and said, we should remember these men.
When I was a young boy, I lived part of my life in Marietta, Georgia, near Kennesaw Mountain, where there was a terrible Civil War battle, and there were two cemeteries. There was a Confederate cemetery, and there was a National cemetery. And passion still ran fairly strong in when I was a boy. Of course, we're talking about 100 years ago.
At least, huh?
And the band would go out. We'd march in a parade, and we would go out, and people would lay flowers on the Confederate graves, not the Union graves. I'm glad we've gotten past some of that.
Yeah, I think you're right. But the thing is in the early days, if my understanding, Gene, is that they actually didn't discriminate so much. That the women who went out actually, you know, decorated, you know, whatever graves they found.
Perhaps in the early days.
In the very early days.
After Reconstruction.
No, after Reconstruction, things changed a little bit on that.
Yes.
But what would Mr. Lincoln think of all the things that we're doing these days on Memorial Day?
Well, let me just read from The Words Lincoln Lived By. Lincoln understood what people were fighting for, that America unleashed all of these pent-up desires to become somebody. And when a regiment of Ohio soldiers passed through Washington, Lincoln came out and spoke with them. And here's one of the things he said. I happen temporarily to occupy this big White House. I am a living witness that any one of your children may look to come here as my father's child has. In other words, he said, what I've done, anybody can do in this great land. And that's what you're fighting to preserve. And I think that's what Memorial Day ought to be. What these people have died for is a land of achievement.
The land of achievement and the land of hope, the land of promise.
Absolutely. The promise that that any child can grow up to become something in this great land.
I heard someone say that they gave their todays so we could have our tomorrows.
Good thought.
Isn't that a great way to say it?
Yes, it is.
I'll be honest with you, it kind of chokes me up a little bit. Gene, we're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back on the other side of this, I've got a poem that I want to read. Gene has agreed to let me take a little bit of his time and read this poem. It's the Freedom Isn't Free poem. You've heard me read it before on Memorial Day. I've been doing it now. This is at least the fifth year I've done this, and a lot of you have requested it, and I'm going to read it again. And that's coming up right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're visiting with our good friend, Gene Griseman. He's the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By.
Since I don't have you,
I'm a baby walking with another man today.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Gene Griseman. And Gene, contemplating the blessing of freedom wherever it may be found, one prime truth is evident, and that's freedom is not free. And for those of us who are the beneficiaries of those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom, the only method of repayment, the only way we can ever be worthy of their sacrifice, is if we do all we can to maintain the freedom that has been paid for and given to us. And having said that, Gene, I'd like to read this poem that I've read for years. And on Memorial Day, I'm going to read it this hour. I'm going to read it next hour one time. And I don't know the author. I'm still trying to find out who is the author. And if anybody knows, please let me know. Freedom isn't free. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it. And then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud, with his hair cut square and eyes alert. He'd stand out in any crowd. I thought about how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many pilots planes shot down, how many died at sea, how many foxholes were soldiers' graves. No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night. When everything was still, I listened to the bugler's call and felt a sudden chill. I wondered how many times that taps had meant amen, when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of the fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves at Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. Thank you for letting me read that. Gene, I appreciate you letting me take a little bit of your time to do that. That's one of my favorite poems, and I especially like to read it on a Memorial Day.
Well, it's a powerful thought. Jim, I was reading an article the other day. Actually, it was a book. And the writer had said that he thought that most Americans don't have any idea what America is. And I'll give you one possible answer for what I think America is. I think America, one, is an experiment. It is an experiment. It's the biggest, boldest experiment in the history of the world at democratizing opportunity, mm-hmm. at opening up opportunity for everybody. Lincoln, for example, pondered what Thomas Jefferson meant when he said all men are created equal. It's obvious that all are not equal in height or weight or athletic ability or musical ability. He couldn't have meant that. Mm-hmm. What he meant was all are born with a right to an equal chance. And America has tried to do that. It's tried to be a place where everybody has an equal chance, and I think that's what America's all about. It's been slow in fulfilling that vision. I mean, and it's not been even.
Well, but it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a pretty tall order, isn't it?
We were the first mm-hmm. on a broad scale to do that. In my Lincoln play, I have Lincoln saying, he said, all are born with an equal chance for a poor, homely, gangly, semi-literate boy growing up on a frontier. A chance for that boy to become president.
Mm-hmm.
That couldn't have happened anywhere else in the world at that time, but right here in America.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I like to think about when I think about America is the words that go back to the Declaration of Independence, which, as you know, was written by Thomas Jefferson and edited by Benjamin Franklin. A lot of people don't know that. In the book, Benjamin Franklin, I'm trying to remember the author's name. I apologize. I'll think of it in a minute. He actually shows a copy, a photograph of the original manuscript of the Declaration of Independence, showing Franklin's editing. But what was said there was, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are, and this is the part that I like, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that last, those last four, last three words, or four words, I guess, Gene, to me, are the power of the United States. You have the ability to pursue happiness. And,
you know,
and a lot of places in this world don't have that.
Great turn of phrase. I don't know if you know, but the original... one of the original drafts was to say life, liberty, and the protection of property.
Right. Yeah, and I think, and if I'm not mistaken, that
pursuit doesn't quicken the spirit, does it?
No, and if I'm not mistaken, I think that actually was one of Benjamin Franklin's edits there.
I think it may well have been. But Thomas Hobbes, of course, who they were very influenced by, had said the only three reasons to have government: to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of property.
Uh-huh.
And they caught a bigger vision in Philadelphia.
and we're the better for it, too. Gene, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back. It's Memorial Day. We're having a great visit with our good friend Gene Griceman. He's the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By, still available where books are sold. Thank goodness. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And folks, if it sounds like Gene and I know each other, Gene Griceman, who's our guest this half hour, is a real good reason for that. We do know each other pretty well. Gene has been on the show. Gene, do you know that this month marks your 7th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust?
Oh, my goodness.
Seven years.
I'm not mistaken, I think first time I was on your show, I went into character for my one-man play.
You did.
And recited the Gettysburg Address.
We've had Mr. Lincoln on, President Lincoln on. You brought him to our show many times since then, and we thank you very much for that, and it's always been a lot of fun. A lot of people, you know, didn't know they could hear President Lincoln still.
Bring him on next time.
You've been able to do that for us. And folks, I encourage you to check out Gene's website. Gene, give it to us, please.
My website is www.presidentlincoln.com. Remember,
now you've
presidentlincoln.com.
You've got a periodical, an electronic periodical that you sent out.
The Achievement Digest.
Yeah.
And I have a number of people who do this whenever I announce it on your show. If they'll go to my website and click on free subscription, the Achievement Digest, just for people who are listening, I'll send 29 of my favorite time savers from my book, Time Tactics of Very Successful People.
Folks, take advantage of that. That's a freebie. That's a Memorial Day freebie there,
yeah,
from our good friend Gene Griceman. Gene, thank you for making that available. That's presidentlincoln.com. It's a free subscription. Nobody's trying to sell you anything. Free
That's
subscription
right.
to his Achievement Digest. And And how often does that come? Monthly? Is it monthly?
Monthly.
Yeah.
It used to be when the spirit moves.
I know, but you've been a lot more regular, and I appreciate that because I get it, and I enjoy it very much. And also, folks, and he'll send you those 29 time tactics. Gene, what do you think President Lincoln would say about the experiment? You know, as you indicated earlier, he called America a great experiment. All those years after it was begun, do you think he'd still say that we were experimenting?
Oh, absolutely. I think we are experimenting because we're trying to keep this vision and make this thing work now in a world that has brought nations closer together, both electronically and because of technology, the ease of communication. It's a smaller world than he grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And to make this vision of an opportunity for everybody work is more of a challenge today.
Well, do you think he would be tough on us right now in the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century? Do you think he'd be tough on us with what we've accomplished, or you think he'd be saying, all things considered, you've done okay?
I think he'd say the latter.
Yeah.
Whenever you,
because he knew how tough it was, didn't he?
When you consider that when he proposed letting black soldiers who had fought for the Union vote, that was a radical idea.
Mm-hmm.
When just a few black men having the opportunity to vote in a federal election, that was considered radical. Mm-hmm. And you consider how far we've come.
Yeah. And it took somebody, one person, to say that.
Yes.
For which he may have given his life for that statement.
Actually, he made a speech on Tuesday before Good Friday, and John Wilkes Booth heard him say that.
Yeah.
And that's when Booth said, "I'm going to shoot him."
You know, Gene, you think people don't realize the power of one person. And you know, that's the importance of leadership. That's the importance of courage. We never know when one person, regardless of what position they may be in, not even president of the United States, they could just be a citizen out on the street corner, the power of courage and leadership that one person can demonstrate. It's amazing what can be accomplished from that, isn't it?
Absolutely, especially when a great communicator like Lincoln could put into words the thoughts and aspirations of the best angels of our nature. You see, Hitler was able to put into words the evil angels of our nature.
And the lies.
Yes, and the fears and the prejudices. Mm-hmm. And all the bad stuff that lies just beneath the surface. He was able to articulate that. Lincoln was able to find the best in us.
Well, and I fear, though, that he died not knowing how well what he'd accomplished. You know, if there is a heaven, I hope he knows that now. Gene Greissman, thank you for being here. Give us your website again, please.
It is www.presidentlincoln.com.
And don't forget to subscribe to his newsletter. It comes monthly, I should say. He'll send you those 29 achievement time savers. Thank you, Gene, for being here. Good job today, as always. Happy Memorial Day.
And I'm happy to celebrate this Memorial Day and ours today.
Thank you, Gene. See you later. Gene Greissman, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back for 7 more years at least. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.